life with a Biomat.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The Strange Odyssey, or the disinformation campaign against Paul Benowitz because he saw the wrong thing at the wrong time. Years ago, we have Chris Lambright, author of X Descending, Ray Stanford, Gene Steinberg, and Chris O'Brien on the Paracast.
Can I finish that statement?
Sure.
Okay. There's a series of blue lights apparently around a round object, but that doesn't mean there are. I believe that he was shooting at night, so he uses a fairly slow shutter speed in order to record the image. I believe that these are probably high-speed sequencing, and I see nothing in these photographs that would distinguish them from the kinds of objects or approximately the same kind of phenomenon objects that we have been filming. And I don't think anything today in known aircraft can even come close to what Paul recorded on there. And I encourage everybody to take their own look to see pictures that I believe are absolutely genuine and should be distinguished from the trash one is seeing so much of on the Internet today.
Before we go on with Paul Benowitz, and that is, are we seeing anything like this today? It seems to be episodes that go back 20, 30 years or so.
Yes, we are.
Well, we are. Ray, I'll issue Ray a challenge. Chris O'Brien probably knows something since he brought up the fact of the emitters. When I look at that image of Paul Benowitz took, it reminds me of a film of a shot Ray knows as the Father Kubler images, in which there are distinct emitters on this, right? If Chris O'Brien knows something about it, but I'm just saying that's an image that people might be very interested in seeing as well. But as far as seeing something to this day, very possible. I have not seen anything that I would look at. Of course, not any of the images Ray has either, but especially not any of the ones that Paul Benowitz has taken, and say, well, there, I can certainly follow some kind of logical path back to see this image compares to that one. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if there are things being seen by people here and there. That
well, there are some, Chris, but they're few and far between in this age of Photoshop, After Effects, and, you know, animation programs.
And at least now, of course, if they don't see it, they'll make you see it.
And unfortunately, that's one of Ray, I think, is kind of valid point, and he and I have discussed this, that, you know, how much you want to put it out there. You want people to see, and I want everyone to see this. I've told everybody, you have to go see, and you will convince yourself. You're not going to believe it because I said it. I certainly wouldn't have believed just because someone said. But the problem is, the minute you put it out there, people fake things. Some for their own reasons, some just for a joke. And if you tell too much of what you know, I've encouraged Ray, you know, show as much as you can and withhold these certain points, because there are ways to potentially distinguish. But it's, unfortunately, I have to be honest, Paul, I mentioned him one time on the phone. I said, Paul, when you called the Air Force, didn't you kind of think you were letting the cat out of the bag? And he signed. And he sighed and said, you know, you can't be too paranoid. And I was thinking to myself,
how prophetic.
Yeah, well, he could have been a little more so. But my point of that is, you know, at some point you have to put it out. The experts will recognize and they will see. Some people will ridicule. But in time, you know, you put some things out there and the people who know, like Mirabeau, like some of the others who've seen what Ray has, they'll recognize what it is. So I'm hoping it will get out there. But at this point, I have not seen any of this, you know, flying around. I don't know whose congressional budget may be paying for that research, but...
Let me ask this question. Any possibility that any of the stuff that Paul Benowitz saw represented a secret government project? It doesn't matter whether it came from alien technology or whatever. He saw something the government was working on, not something that happened because of some alien influence.
Well, I want also to emphasize this point. Nowhere in the book that I've written do I make the statement that any of this is, quote-unquote, alien technology. I do make the point that I think Occam's razors are not going to cut so smoothly, and so especially in the case of what Ray's got on film.
Yeah,
where
really, good
came
point,
from, I
good
don't
point.
Know. My point of all of this is, wherever it comes from, it represents a technology we all deserve the right to benefit from. I mean, I hate to say this, but science, if I'm not mistaken, is about truth. It's not about sitting on it, and sadly to say, in a capitalist society or when money is tight these days, everybody needs to survive somehow. But I can't just say that after all of this time, that would I feel right if what was done to Paul Benowitz was done to my family, my parents? How about you? You know, would any of the senators say, oh, yeah, it's okay to stick it to?
Let's talk about that. Why don't you give us a quick thumbnail sketch of the unfortunate circumstances around the demise of Paul Benowitz? I mean, this gets into a whole other ball of wax, which is, you know, we've covered this with Greg Bishop. He wrote the, you know, of course, wrote the very good book, Project Beta, about the Benowitz case. And you've come up with some additional information about the actual disinformation program that erupted around Benowitz once he went to the Air Force and said, hey, you guys, do you know that this is going out in your backyard around one of our most secure nuclear weapon storage areas? Why don't you kind of move it forward a little bit? We're running out of time. So I want our, you know, our new listeners to understand what happened to Benowitz.
And I do want to commend Greg Bishop. I mean, he contacted me back 10 years ago, however long ago it was, about he had heard I had some of these images. And, I had just begun working on this. At the time, though, of course, he said he's a good friend of Bill Moore's. And I'll be honest, that put me on edge. That made me defensive. And I decided to wait, you know, just to not go forward with that.
We'll have to explain also to our listeners who haven't followed the history of Bill Moore, the fact that although he was one of the pioneer researchers into Roswell, he did things that aren't very nice.
Well, yeah, I do want to qualify as well that everything that I've written is based on my experience, and so you could say it's my opinion, and a lot of this is like presenting a case in court. You know, you're trying to present the best way you can, but I want people to make up their own minds and make up their own decisions about what, you know, where they decide to, what they decide to believe or be convinced of. At the time that Bill Moore gave his confession, so to speak, I was one to say, you know, just wait. If any of us had been in that position, and maybe that's the point of a convincing confession.
Okay, but, you know, that's step two. We need to know step one.
Okay,
so
right.
Bill Moore confessed. What did he do?
Well, he claimed that he had been, I believe his words were, recruited by Richard Doty, although if you listen to what he said, there was another person he's called Falcon, who supposedly was the precursor to some of this. He claimed to have been recruited to inform, I guess is the way I would put it, on Paul Benowitz, meaning to go whatever Paul Benowitz was doing and thinking, and Bill Moore would befriend him, and Bill Moore then subsequently would pass that information on to Richard Doty. And I believe he mentioned that he kind of got the impression Doty was taking notes, and some of that information was potentially being fed back to Paul Benowitz from third parties, from other sources, which seemed to reaffirm it in Paul's mind. He was onto something because he's hearing, you know, supportive evidence or hearing some terms or information from other places that seem to convince.
Okay, well, Chris, for our new time listeners, Richard Doty claimed to be working for Air Force Intelligence. He was involved in a disinformation program and some sort of counterintelligence operation concerning Benowitz's claims of filming and recording, audio recordings of these unusual events around Manzano. So the Air Force, then they put a team of people on the Benowitz, and they started messing with him. They literally did. I mean, the guy went through an amazing period of, some of these operatives, according to Greg Bishop and others, would actually go into his house when he wasn't there and rearrange the furniture just to, you know, mess with his mind.
Yeah, I think anybody who really thinks seriously about this would realize that, wait a minute, how important – what was it that Paul had that was so important that they would go to this extreme? I mean, keep in mind, if all you think is he was thinking he was getting signals from UFOs and he was talking to aliens, you think the Air Force would involve themselves in something like that? They'd tell him to call MUFON or call somebody else. They'd shrug and pass him off. They would not go to this kind of potentially years-long...
Yeah, they'd tell him to call me.
Well, there you go. But I'm just saying...
They didn't call me either. At least I don't think so.
Yeah, there was a question, I believe, one of your listeners posted that asked about the fact that, you know, why, you know, what's the difference between any of us who are interested in this subject? What's the difference between our other films and what Paul says? Why Paul? My conclusion, I guess you would say, at this stage, my opinion is what Paul got, he put it in their backyard. And he was somebody in the community. He had contracts. He was a known issue. He was a credible person at that point. Why they didn't just go to him and say, Paul, you know, keep it quiet or else. For some reason, it was more important to admit nothing and just damage this man's credibility and go to this extreme effort. And I believe it's because he caught something that if anybody looked at what he had, they would know. And then they would immediately turn their attention to the Air Force and say, what's going on here?
You know what? We'll have to find out what's going on here. We have Chris Lambright. We're talking about the incredible case of Paul Benowitz and how the government kind of tried to mess him up. We have Ray Sternford joining us with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. We're exploring that new book from Chris Lambright, which is called X Descending. We're also joined by Ray Stanford. And now we're talking about how the government, I guess, singled out, unfortunately, Paul Benowitz for their share of disinformation. Or do you think that maybe Doty and even Bill Moore were acting on their own as opposed to with government sanction? What did they do? Let's get into all the tales about what they did and all the actions they took to screw this guy up.
Yeah, good question, Gene.
Not just the things moving around the house that looks like maybe somebody's trying to rob you. It was more than that.
Yeah, there was obviously a serious effort not only to, and I suspect, not only to make Paul look like he was, you know, losing his grip to his family members, but to ensure that he was stuffed full of enough that they could also seem to substantiate through other means. Either other people would suggest things to him, or, you know, for example, if he had an interest in the Dulce area. And lo and behold, a girl comes right to his door virtually. She's led right to him. And under hypnosis says things that immediately ratchet his attention back up there. Things that if he tells anyone about, you're going to wonder. I did. When he began to talk about that, I'm like, okay, you know, what is
Wait a minute. Let's back up. Hypnosis, who are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about, as Bill Moore put it, a way to defuse Paul. I think the important aspect was when he finally called the Air Force, if you'll look, you'll notice we don't have any real clear information on what occurred in the first 4 months after he called and spoke with Ernest Edwards. And I had someone who had been in naval work tell me, no, they don't just sit and wait to see what happens. Things would be taken care of, would be on the burner immediately. But you'll notice that we don't really have much happening that we know of, no documentation until the Myrna Hansen events occur. And then suddenly in July, you have this Wetzel letter that gets fired off to APRO. Now, we do know Paul was talking to APRO and apparently had been into a lot of things that rightfully by the first part of 1980 began to sound very bizarre. But I think there's a substantial...
Sorry to interrupt, but APRO is the Area Phenomenon Research Organization run by Jim and Coral Lorenzen, a longtime civilian investigative and research organization, now kind of quasi-defunct, the original. But I just wanted to define the terms there.
Yeah,
APRO,
I appreciate
you know, they were top-shelf investigators in the day.
Unfortunately, by the way, Coral Lorenzen took a dislike to me when I was in my late teens. So for the rest of her life, the very couple of rare occasions I met her at a UFO event, she continued to snarl over one thing that upset her, which is because I published a photo in a little UFO magazine, and she felt she didn't get the proper degree of respect. It was all about that. And that's true. But they did great work. And Jim Lorenzen was really a great guy.
This arena is full of personalities. I'll give him that.
Right. So anyway, Paul Benowitz goes to APRO.
So, well, yeah, he had been communicating with APRO, and I believe he may have even been back since the interest in cattle mutilations. But needless to say, that, I believe, was his major point of contact, my belief, initially. During the beginning of all of this, he was writing back and forth to APRO because they were a very prominent group at the time in Tucson. But, of course, by this time, he's already called the Air Force. And then, of course, suddenly we have this Wetzel letter being sent to APRO, which even Bill Moore has subsequently come out and said it was sent as bait. And you think, bait to do what? To draw somebody from APRO to come up to poke around the Albuquerque area. But, of course, then you have all of this overtones of, and my take on it now, and I'm not claiming to be the world's greatest analyst, but I did have a little bit of help in asking questions about counterintelligence work. And I tried my best to look at the facts of what occurred, when things occurred. The Wetzel letter went out in July. Suddenly, Bill Moore gets it. But he did nothing with it. Then he's recruited in some other way. And this is when I came to decide, you know, some of this smells. It's not adding up correctly as totally independent individuals. Like you mentioned, you asked if Richard Doty might have been acting on his own. I don't think so. Now, if only because we know there were other people involved. And he has told me himself that his supervisors told him to contact Jerry Miller. But then there was a big meeting that went on in November with Brigadier General William Brookshire and a couple of others, you know, and if you, oddly enough, Robert Haynes had written me an email, and it reminded me that, just coincidentally, William Brookshire, in November of 1980,
Robert Hastings.
Yeah, the point simply is it reminded me of an odd coincidence I realized later that General Brookshire, who was sitting in on the meeting with Paul Benowitz, 5 years to a month earlier, had been in charge of the Malmstrom Missile Base area right there, the 341st, I think, wing, when there were intrusions over Malmstrom. So even at that point...
The plot-ins.
Yeah. Now, whether that's a coincidence or not, as I said, I don't think there are any real coincidences. But needless to say, you had a lot of upper-level people involved in the meeting with Paul Benowitz. So there's no way to say Richard Doty was running this show himself. And the fact that, of course, he noted that, and has noted to me, that there were a lot of other AFOSI agents involved with him on this. One of the points I think is significant is we've never heard any of their names, any of the admission, Bill's confession, anything else, stops at Bill and Richard Doty. So if all of these other individuals were involved, why have they not been called to account? Especially as Greg Bishop indicated, some of these people went into Paul's house, and these were some major named. Robert Fugit is one of them. We don't hear any of them saying a word about it.
That lends ourselves to a question from Sentry, who, again, has been a Paracast forum poster for about a year. And his question is, was Bill Moore a UFO spy or a BS artist? He points out that Bill Moore is a key player in the Benowitz story, but it seems his confession at the, I think it was the 89 MUFON conference, was something he was cornered into by allegations from CAUSE, Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, and Robert Hastings. Moore had been doing shady things, but mostly cloak and dagger shenanigans as a showman to manipulate interest in his products, videotapes, books, magazines, conferences. Rather than be exposed as a fraud, it looks to Sentry that Moore chose to claim to be a double agent, really working a pro-UFO agenda. This scheme doesn't seem to have worked as planned, and yet those condemning Moore seem to accept the bulk of the confession story. Moore later took shots at Ed Hynek, Valet, James Harder, implicating them in the scheme against Paul Benowitz. Wow. Looking at all this, it seems to me that Moore was just an opportunist capitalizing on UFO anti-government paranoia. What do you have to say about that, about Bill Moore? Maybe we should ask Greg Bishop that question, too. He's pretty good friends with him.
Fair question. And, of course, you know, what I would say is simply based upon my sense from what I have seen, and I'm certain Bill can tell his story. And at this particular point, though, it is known, of course, not only that Bill admitted to this, Richard Doty has admitted that he and Bill worked together. When I specifically asked Bill about how he could have recreated, so to speak, the NASA telex, which he supposedly had changed NSA originally and changed it to say NASA. That's why I got that acronym NASA telex or NSA telex. You know, and he had told me on the telephone, I said, how could you recall in such detail if you were only shown this thing but not allowed to make a copy? He said it was based on the best recollection of me and Richard Doty, which of course told me that obviously Richard Doty had to have been right there whenever that thing was present for Bill to see it.
Ah, yes, Richard Doty.
We
have Chris Lambert. We have Ray Stanford. We have Gene Steinberg. We have Chris O'Brien because you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com. 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK, 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Chris Lambright, author of X Descending. Ray Stanford's here with Chris O'Brien and Gene Steinberg, and we're trying to figure out what the heck the government did to Paul Benowitz. So basically, they're doing all sorts of crazy things with him, and, you know, he never suspected that someone was really just playing tricks on him.
Well, I think if you look at Greg Bishop's book, Greg Bishop did some good work in this book, and he points out the fact, which and I believe Paul had even mentioned something along these lines to me, that Paul began to have his own suspicions, not only about a house across the street, but potentially that things were not what they seemed. I know at one point he had a parting of the ways with Leo Sprinkle over what he thought he was doing, but my suspicion, and in all the time I ever talked to Paul, he's clearly, you know, an analytical mind, even though some of the things he may say were way out of the box as far as my experience. But I don't have any reason to believe that he didn't suspect eventually that things were not all kosher, that some of the friends that he thought he had weren't, or maybe were not friends as such. And I'm convinced, based on some of the things that I saw and that I found and that I heard, and some of the things that Bishop outlined, that Paul did have some suspicions that, you know, maybe, you know, the house across the street, I think, or across the corner somewhere, may have been positioned in a way that the people that were going in there certainly weren't aliens. So at that particular time, I don't know that there's really a justifiable reason to think that Paul never had a clue. But then again, if all your friends are in it together and not telling you what's going on, it becomes very difficult to know who to believe. And at some point, you maybe decide that you couldn't be fooled by everybody, or you're sharp enough not to be fooled by it. And like some of the con men tell you, that's the person they want to meet, the person who believes.
Yeah, gee, I hate when that happens. I hate it.
So I don't know. I mean, I think the evidence clearly shows, though, that there was a long effort, elaborate effort, to mess him up to the point of getting people to write him off, to dismiss what he had. And that's why I told everyone the only reason I focused on the very original period when he got these films, up to the point that he called the Air Force, when before they knew what he was doing and that he was up there, I think that's still relatively pristine evidence. And if you look at it, it clearly shows something that's not just little lights on film. And he got something that was, and once again, he wasn't the only witness to this. Other people saw this. But once he called the Air Force and they knew what he was doing, I have to say kind of all bets are off.
Yeah, the carnival came to town.
Right. Let me ask you a question here. Wouldn't it have made sense, and we're certainly looking with hindsight here, to have simply gone to Paul Benowitz as a loyal American and said, you know what, we can't talk about this. That's it. You know, keep it quiet. This is for your country, for God and country, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why I put that point in there about Chuck Clark and the Area 51 thing. But, you know, and I've had other people tell me, the same naval person that had talked to me, who said, look, they prosecute spies, they prosecute leakers. Look at the WikiLeaks guy. You send them away for as long as you can, not only to make the point, but because it makes the point to everybody else. Why they would not have gone to Paul and said, Paul, see the signs on the fence here and look what you're doing. We can undermine all your contracts. We can do... But that in itself is an admission. That's letting someone know that you've got something that you know is worth keeping. And
yeah,
of course, it's just
point, speculation.
But my
so therefore, because they don't want to confirm to him what's going on, they just screw him up. But didn't he get into basically a mental institution because of what happened?
My understanding was that he had some kind of a breakdown or an emotional strain. The last that... And to this day, it is one of the hardest things for me to accept that the last time I had spoken to him was just shortly after after John Lear had gone to Paul's house. I was never told and never able to find out what the problem was, but Paul was livid about Lear for some reason. I think I spell this out the best I could in the book. After that, I mean, he was just going on. And I was like, Paul, I had nothing to do with him going to us. I tried the best I could to assure Paul I had nothing to do with it. And there's a matter with the films that we can potentially, or at least the pictures Paul sent me, that we can get into some other time that were given back to Lear. But needless to say, within a few days, Linda Howe called and said, have you talked to Paul? His phone number's been unlisted. And I checked, and sure enough, and I tried many times to get to him. I expected him to call me. I really honestly did. He'll call me in a few days and tell me, you know, what his new number was. And I have a feeling he may have had a breakdown of some sort after that, and that's why the family changed the number, but I don't know.
Okay, Chris, that brings me to, a healthily skeptical question from Polterwurst, one of our, posters here at the forum. And he asks, if Paul Benowitz really was caught up in some counterintelligence operation, why didn't similar things, or why don't similar things, happen to people like Stanton Friedman, or maybe to you, Mr. Lambright, and Mr. Stanford, or maybe even Gene and Chris? Or are there events that might have had something to do with that? I know I'd be more than a little concerned if I were in a position of possibly interfering with government secrecy.
Well, I will tell you, I doubt any of us are not good patriotic citizens. If someone came to me and said, look, this is what's going on, and they could do it in a way that convinced me it was the truth, and this is why we need you to be quiet or whatnot, I don't have any reason to think Paul would not have had the same feelings we would all have had. What's the right thing to do? I mean, I am in no interest in, in outing government secrets. I mean, I'm not a, I just, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, I don't. But if any of us took pictures, raised pictures, I know what's in there. Chris O'Brien has seen, people who see them know what's in there. But it doesn't put it in the Air Force's backyard. They can shrug, they can throw up their hands, they can do what they want. Anything I might say, Stan Friedman's, and of course I don't know everything Stan Friedman has, but he's always seemed credible enough. If Paul had claimed, oh, it's all aliens and I've got them all on film, if they were filmed at the Archuleta Mesa, the Air Force might just go call MUFON. But if you had something that, and I've heard from other people that Paul may have had far more definitive things on that film than like the description I gave where he wrote about having seen what he thought was someone with a flashlight walking around underneath one of the objects when it was on the ground down there. Now, whatever he might have had on film, or for all I know, maybe during the daytime he went back and filmed the same area and got some other things showing where the – you see what I'm getting at. Maybe he had more than I'm even aware of. But for whatever reason, I think the fact that of what he had, the evidence of the vehicles that he got, and the fact of where he got them, that there was no way to deny what he had on film, and that Paul had enough credibility and reputation to be listened to by people who might take, and at the same time, perhaps there was some honest concern that if it was known to the Russians that he had filmed them over a military installation, that it might, I don't know, maybe there were some other kind of political considerations or military as to why they would want to defuse Paul specifically. So I think there's a potential out there, and I'm not saying that the people whose jobs it was, Colonel Edwards, Richard Doty, some of these, are necessarily bad people. I'm not sure what any of us would do if we were in a position that's our role and we have to play it out.
You got a job description, you got to go with it. Well, what do you think about the whole idea of the counterintelligence operation kind of trying to deflect Benowitz's interest in Manzano and Kirtland up to Dulce? And that brings us into a whole another realm that probably deserves almost an entire Paracast show. But
no kidding. I wish Gabe Valdez was still alive for that one, or Tom Adams was around, but and Greg Bishop as well. Once again, it seems to me from looking at all of this and trying to put the pieces together, that the primary goal was to get his attention focused on someplace that they had far better control, that was looking 180 degrees from where they wanted you and me to be looking. If he's talking Dulce and all of that, everybody's focusing up there. And all they needed to do was potentially, you know, stroke him a little bit by putting him on some helicopter flights and salt and peppering some interesting looking things on the ground down below there.
Yeah, and that's a whole show right there.
yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it seems to me, and I will make a point just so that everyone knows, and I don't want to bring up Roswell, but the analogy between that and this case is, for all I know, the whole point of getting people to look at Roswell is so we're not looking somewhere else.
It's a misdirection kind of aspect.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Right. We have Chris Lambright, Ray Stanford with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro EM1, the raw probiotic.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We'd love to have you subscribe to our newsletter. You can get updated schedules for the shows, cutting-edge commentaries from me, from Chris, and special guest commentators such as Kurt Southerly. All this and more, the official Paracast newsletter. Go to newsletter.theparacast.com, newsletter.theparacast.com. It's free.
Chris Lambright, author of X Descending, Ray Stanford, of course, well known for his research in many cases, including Socorro, New Mexico. Chris O'Brien, well known because he's a man about town who learned in the Orient the incredible power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. No, that's the wrong person. That was Lamont.
What?
Chris. I'm Gene Steinberg.
Where did that come from? Oh, my God.
I was on a riff, my friend.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. I'll use the T word. Sometimes I can be like tricksterish.
That's right. You cloud men's minds so they cannot see you. I like to be able to do that. That'd be a lot of fun. We're not talking about invisible UFOs. We're talking about how they really freaked out Paul Benowitz, how people like William Moore did that. What is William Moore doing these days? He's still around. What's happened to him?
Well, no, we should Greg ask Bishop, Greg about that one.
Yeah, I agree. Greg Bishop would be the person to ask about that. You know, I do want to just qualify, and I'll make this very short. Something Ray brought up there during the break, which is, there's no reason to assume or to believe that once Paul got into what he was getting into, that they may have wanted to also see other effects. So, you know, they could have used him as a means of counterintelligence to see what he was doing, to watch what happened. I mean, we can't really say none of this is exclusionary. In other words, one thing doesn't necessarily exclude the other. So there may have been any number of reasons why they took the route that they did with Paul, at least years
They could have identified Benowitz as a really acute observer, someone with observational acuity, and then when Edwards took him on that helicopter flight to Dulce for the first time, Benowitz had CIA-supplied film and a camera system sealed in a lead box that they were able to obtain object photos approaching the helicopter, I believe, on the first trip to Dulce. This all comes from Ron Regier, you know, our aerospace engineer, and he's still trying to get his photographs back from Gabe Valdez's estate that were taken by Benowitz, sent to Ron, and he sent them to Gabe and has yet to get them back. I just wanted to kind of mention that.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard anything like that. Now, but at the same time, that does not dismiss it. It's simply that once Paul called the Air Force and they knew what he was up to and the fix was in, so to speak, I would have to, you know, I personally would really hold at arm's length any real conviction over what, you know, what he might have or what might have been acquired, you know, after the fact, especially.
But the very fact that he acquired it, I think, is noteworthy.
Well, how he got it. I mean, you hear a lot of things that Bishop went into about Bill Moore claiming that Hynek had handed Paul a an Air Force supplied computer without telling him the Air Force supplied it. You know, so at that point, who knows what was on it or what Paul was getting from it. He believed he was doing some good work with it, but at that stage, you know, how do you know? It's just a sad, frustrating story to really know what to believe after a point.
It was great. I didn't know that. I totally forgot about that. Hynek gave Benowitz an Air Force computer and didn't tell him that's where it was from? Are you serious?
Well, according to Bill Moore, through Greg Bishop.
Through Greg. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe of that or what to even think of that, because it really says it casts aspersions upon Hynek, and he's no longer here to say anything about it or defend it. So I just have to say it's a Bill Moore. Greg Bishop says that Bill Moore told him this. I have never heard anything like it, but it was a rather shocking allegation, let's just say.
Is there any reason to assume there was anything unsavory about what Dr. Hynek did during his years of being a positive influence in UFO research?
You know, I don't know. We don't know what pressures were on him or what obligations.
Well, hold on. Let's throw that in Ray's direction. Ray, when did you meet Alan Hynek? And I mean, I've seen letters. You show me letters, correspondence that you've had with, you know, you had over the years with Hynek. What do you think about that? You met Hynek way back.
I had been in correspondence with Hynek in connection with the July 28, 1959, double filming of Mothership with Smaller Objects in Corpus Christi, Texas, sometime, I guess, in late 59, but I didn't physically meet him until in Socorro.
Until Socorro.
Yeah. So that was, you know, my experiences with him were very positive and very good. You know, I mean, he was always very friendly. He visited us, and he seemed very open. I have my personal opinions I believe that he was still working for the government after Project Blue Book closed down in some capacity. And in fact, people who were closer to him than I was have said as much.
Was he still working there when they had the Center for UFO Studies? Was he still working there when he was going out and lecturing as someone who had a positive viewpoint of UFO reality?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
I think so. And not only that, but there's, for example, now he had his 1984, the CUFOS conference, the one that a lot of the UFO people were upset they weren't invited to. I was invited to speak there. But at that conference, he had Dr. Jean-Pierre Petit, the French National Science Center, who was doing research on magnetohydynamic aerodynes, present a paper about magnetohydynamic propulsion. And he, in fact, went to the CIA with all of the papers that with what Petit was going to present, and sought to get a clearance, and he went to other agencies, and I concluded this from some things I had learned, and I got a call from a Houston radio station, a well-known host there who had gotten the Freedom of Information Act paper that showed that, in fact, Hynek was, and I don't hold against him. He just wanted to make sure that there were not any things the intelligence community didn't want released. But whether the U.S. community wanted released here or not, when Petit got back to France, he was chief research, French National Science Center. I won't try to say that in French. He got in trouble because he released some information about how to keep magnetohydynamic iodine from exploding, and keep down chaos in magnetohydynamic flow that he was not supposed to release. And he told me he got into some trouble, but I don't think it had anything to do with Hynek's having him checked out here.
Yeah, but the question I guess people would have here, the question we'd have, Ray, is whether the Air Force or the government in general would possibly have influenced what Dr. Hynek said about UFOs.
I don't have any doubt that it could have, but I do not believe the Air Force is against people researching UFOs, and I think they like to influence and keep track of it. Influence is an important word.
Yeah, we're all unpaid assets.
Yeah.
Yep. Well said.
It's nice to be an asset. It's supposed to be something else.
Okay.
All right. Listen, we're just about out of time. Let's have you, Chris Lambright, do a little bit of a plug for the book.
Ah, well, excellent. Thank you. It is available on Amazon.com for anyone with a Kindle. It's going to be on the iBook store here shortly, as quick as I can get things set up with them, but it is available in either, of course, in the Kindle format or in a, as an EPUB format for those with Android tablets or other, you know, EPUB accessible tablets, or even PDF if you want.
Is there a hardcover version?
Not yet. You'd be surprised in the publishing industry, especially when it in the last few years, but when it comes down to the color images, ooh, cost was somewhat prohibitive. I have plans. I have a printer. As soon as I can, I'll have some print versions out there, but the necessity of the images being in color and the cost of color printing on just a normal independent process. But I wanted also to have them in as high resolution as I could.
So now let me ask you a question quickly here. Is there a site we can go to check out more of what you have to say?
Yes. Actually, towards this end, I started my own little website in a small publishing kind of a firm called xdeskpublishing.com.
Okay, we have a link, by the way, to the book at theparacast.com so we can see more of what you do. And I guess they could write you from the site.
Thanks. Yes, sir.
Okay. Ray Stanford, you don't have a site yet.
Oh, no.
If I can get him to publish on my site,
I will have him one there soon.
Yeah. But we do have a thread at the Paracast Forum, so, you know, let's have some fun with it. You guys, thank you so much for being on. This is one of my favorite shows that I've done over the past 2.5 years. Thank you so much. Chris, your research is awesome. Ray, you the man, bro. You really are. Out of everybody in this field that I've ever read about or encountered and blessedly met, you are the man. And thank you so much for all your hard work.
Yeah, he is to me. If I have ever sided with anybody and put my reputation on it, Ray's the man. So I'm with you. And Gene, I appreciate you having me on, and I hope we can maybe get together again in the future.
You sure will. We sure look forward to having you on again. Thanks also, Ray Stanford.
You too, Chris. We'll talk again, okay?
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.